Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Cinematic Trinity with me, Tulip.
And me, Michael.
And there's no Kieran today because he didn't watch Doctor Who.
Which is what we're reviewing.
He's an idiot. So it's me and Michael today. And yeah, we're going to be reviewing the 60th anniversary episodes of Doctor Who that have obviously been on the BBC the last few weeks. So I think what we'll do is we'll try and do as much of a general review without giving spoilers, and then if we feel that we need to do spoilers, then we'll give you a full warning for those of you who haven't seen it yet. Although I imagine if you haven't seen it and you are interested in seeing, it's probably already been spoiled for you already, so I won't take the blame if this is what spoils it for you. Okay, so you kick us off, Michael. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it is return to form in some ways. I mean, definitely, like, you know, I personally dipped off from Doctor Who when, like, Matt Smith's, like, final season came by. And then
when Clara got introduced, I think that's when we both dipped out.
Kind of. I mean, I dipped out, like, before Amy and Rory left, but, like, borderline. I think that was the next episode, but I kind of thought, oh, I'm kind of done with this.
Yeah.
Then me and Tulip popped back on in, like, Jodie Whittaker's run when it was, like, the Flux special.
I watched some
event
of Peter Capaldi's, though.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I hopped back on then when it was the Flux with Jodie Whittaker. We watched that and then we sort of continued from there, sort of watched the Flux. Then it was the New Year special. Then it was
They did a lot of specials, didn't they? Basically just trying to drag it out for as long as possible until they could secure David Tennant, basically, to come back, I reckon. I think that's probably what they were waiting for.
But yeah, I would say compared to what, like, we've seen from, like, the Jodie Whittaker run, like the Chris Chibnall run, it's better. Like, there's definitely an increase in quality now, because obviously Russell T. Davies is back, who basically brought Doctor Who back in 2005.
He's Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, so he did Christopher Eccleston and then David Tennant's run, basically, and then he dipped out when Stephen Moffat took over, when it was Matt Smith onwards. But yeah, I think some bits, like, you know, just, we'll get into it more when it's, like, spoilers, but I think, you know, just as, like, a Doctor Who nerd for a second, it's just some of the stuff they've done with, like, in the universe where I'm kind of a bit like, you know.
I think you can either see, I think the first thing that I wanted to say is there's only been three episodes, and you have to, if you were to take an average over the three episodes, then it would be a good average.
Yeah.
But what you've got to remember, even when it was Doctor Who from our time of Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant, there was still dips in quality. Like, some episodes would be better than others. That's just the way it is. That's just the way this show is. But you have to take an average of the series or of those few episodes that you've got. But this is definitely better than what we've had for years.
Yeah.
I think it's been not doing well for years. And I just hope to God that when Shuti Gatwa, who is now the new Doctor, obviously David Tennant is the Doctor in these three episodes, but Shuti Gatwa is going to be it going forward from now. And we love him anyway. We love him from Sex Education. And he seems like he's really good. So I just hope that it continues. Like, I really want it to be good. Like, I really do want it to be good.
I'm certainly more interested to see where things go from here compared to, like, you know, just what was happening before. Like, I was never getting excited with any announcements. Obviously, like, Jodie Whittaker as well. They did stuff as well to the Doctor Who, like, canon with, like, the Doctor's origins and stuff, which annoyed a lot of people. Yeah. So, yeah.
And they're definitely doing things now to the canon and changing things, which is neither here nor there. I think you can either love that or hate that. But me personally, I like it when there's a set of rules, and I like it when it's, oh, do you remember right back at season one, episode five, when this thing happens? Oh, it's brought all the way back around, or, you know, it's we can't do this because we've already established that this happened. We can't do, you know, how he was discovered or how he was born, whatever. You said it there about the Doctor, where he came from.
The Time as Child arc for anyone who's not, like, for anyone who's watched the show.
Yeah, and saying that he's not from Gallifrey. And it's like, we've already established that he is from Gallifrey, and I don't want to change that now.
Yeah, that's
It's very easy to play fast and loose with the rules in Doctor Who, because it is, you know, he regenerates and, you know, sometimes it's just like that. So whatever, but I personally like it when there's some continuity. Yeah. It's like in the Saw films. Like, what I really liked about the Saw films was there was really good continuity between all the films. So
how would, because obviously it was three specials. You had the Star Beast, then you had Into Blue Yonder, and then you had the Giggle.
The Giggle,
which
yeah.
I guess, like, just to get out of the way, because obviously we're doing like general stuff. We're not going like strictly episode by episode. How would you like rank the three episodes?
I think, what's the second episode called? The Water
Into Blue Yonder.
Blue Yonder. That was the best one. That was genuinely just a really good episode.
Yeah, like,
even you could compare it to even some of the classic episodes that we grew up on and that we love, and it is as good as those episodes. It's brilliant.
It felt like a good, oh, Doctor Who's back.
Yeah, you know, it really felt like it was
compared
back.
To like the first, because the first episode was like getting there, but like this was proper, it was like, yeah, this is the storytelling we're,
yeah,
like
absolutely.
we were used to, you know.
Yeah. And so I think the second one was the best, and then the third one, The Giggle, that was still good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first episode wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that'd ranking? Be my ranking as well. I guess, yeah. Like, because, you know.
What do you see, how do you feel about David Tennant and Catherine Tate coming back? Like, how do you feel about that? Did you enjoy it? Or?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, David Tennant's always good, you know, always good to watch.
He's good in everything he does.
Yeah, he's like just, I love him. He's great. Catherine Tate, like, you know, I think out of like the companions, I don't know whether I'm in like the minority that like Donna was never like my favourite, you know. Probably, I might share the same view as like other people. It's probably like Rose, then Donna, then Martha. But then like, even then, like probably on a good episode, Martha could potentially like swap, yeah, between her and Donna.
When I was younger, I really liked Rose. Like, I was just all for Rose. Didn't care about Martha, never cared about Martha, didn't really care about Donna. But when we re-watched them,
yeah,
I don't know, it was a few years ago now, as I got older, I can really appreciate Catherine Tate just as an actress anyway. Like, she's underrated, I think, as you've said, underrated in this and okay. back then. Like, I think that she's genuinely really good, and she's got a really good storyline, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing about the meta crisis and her taking in the TARDIS energy from the Time Lords and all that turn left stuff with the bug on her back, that's all really good. Like, I really enjoyed all those storylines.
Yeah.
And I think it was, she was probably the only person who could come back and it feel the same. I feel like if Billy Piper came back and did Rose now, I don't know whether it would feel the same, because she's progressed so much as a woman.
Well, it's,
you know, would it be, it's just like, it's, you're not my Rose.
I mean,
you know?
Arguably, everyone apart from Donna probably had their closing off, you know, like they had their arcs come to an end, or like, you know, not,
yeah,
left open-ended, because Rose was kind of living in a parallel world with her,
yeah,
her version of the Doctor. Martha, I think, got married to Mickey, and they were obviously just doing their own stuff.
Yeah, they were.
So it's kind of like,
yeah,
didn't need to, like, that kind of closed hers and Mickey's thing off. So it's kind of like Donna was like, oh, will she remember the Doctor one day? What's going to happen? Because,
yeah,
it was like this constant, you know,
threat.
Ticking.
If she,
yeah,
basically, what happened was she took in the TARDIS. Did she look into the heart of the TARDIS?
No,
that was Rose.
She touched the Doctor's decapitated
regenerating
hand.
As it was regenerating.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
the Time Lord energy went into her, and she basically had all the Doctor's memories. But because she's a human, you can't be a human Time Lord, it was too much for her. So the Doctor had to make her forget everything and forget about the Doctor. So when we rejoin her now, it's, is she going to remember the Doctor? Is that what, you know?
Well, you know,
he
basically, like,
him?
You know, he basically shows up and she's there, like, you know, the first person he meets is Donna. And it's kind,
yeah,
of like, oh, no, oh, crap. And, you know, Donna's...
No.
Donna's there, she's got a daughter, she's got a husband, got like her normal life.
Yeah,
and, the
and her mum's
of...
still in it.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, and to an extent, Wilf is in it as,
yeah,
well, her granddad, played by
Bernard Cribbins.
So,
bless him.
Yeah, which,
yeah,
who, you know, like, that's not a spoiler, because I'm pretty sure everyone knows, he turns up in the second episode, and it's really, really heartfelt, because, you know, he passed away in 2022, and like, they filmed his scene. It's a really, really good reunion between him and David Tennant.
Yeah.
Like, really, you know, really hits you in the feels. And, you know, I think they filmed that, and then a couple of months later he passed away. So it's like really, you know, sad to watch, but glad they managed to still do that.
At least they managed to get something in there, which,
yeah,
I think is weird. And I feel like for him, he was probably glad that he could do something,
yeah, which,
and
fair,
be part of it in some way.
Yeah, which, to be fair, like, when we were watching it, I didn't realise he was going to show up in it, because I was kind of, they were referencing him still being alive in the show,
yeah,
and I was kind of like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that, because if he's like, you know, obviously passed away in real life, I don't really feel like you should you should have just said his character passed away. But then they did enough, obviously he does show up, so it's fine, it's warranted. It's not like he's out there somewhere. Yeah. It's like, well,
because they would have had to have basically like cut all the stuff that he had done, just those like short scenes that he did do. They would have had to cut that out if they like killed him off, and there wouldn't have really been a way to kill him off apart from by saying Wilf's died, you know, like off camera, and that would have been a bit of a shame as well. So I think actually it was for the best.
But the first episode, you know, basically, I'll put the spoiler jingle in here.
Spoilers ahead.
So the first episode, obviously, David Tennant shows up. He's only just regenerated back into David Tennant from Jodie Whittaker. Stuff ensues. He lands on Earth. There's an alien spaceship, kind of like the Slovene episode. It crashes, but it's actually parked up. So he's investigating that. Donna has like an alien turn up at her house, which is a little white creature played by Miriam Margolyes, which is weird.
I think Miriam Margolyes is a really good like.
I like Miriam Margolyes. I hated that creature in that episode, the Meep. Very annoying. But I think just rapid fire through this episode, because I feel like the other ones there's more to say.
Just highlight like the key elements.
Yeah, so basically the alien turns up at Donna's house. She starts to remember. There's like a really cool bit actually when I was thinking about it when we were watching the episode was Doctor kind of shows up and he's like, oh, I'll help you get this alien out of here. And then Donna like is later on just says, oh, the doctor needs our help, but
she hasn't fully remembered yet, but she doesn't know why
said his name. But she says, oh, the doctor needs, and even like Sylvia's there, because Sylvia knows like if and Donna remembers she'll
die.
Her
scenes where she's like trying to stop Donna from remembering the doctor, because he's obviously doing his doctor thing and getting his sonic screwdriver
in
whatever,
the living room,
and there's an alien, and she's like, no, don't look at this over here, no, this man's crazy, he's leaving now. You know, like, and she's really good in it, and I think that all that part's hilarious. I really enjoyed that.
So it kind of like, you know, works up, the Meep is evil, that's the kind of twist in that. And then, you know, basically wants to destroy London, your standard like alien plot. Everyone's got to destroy London for some reason, you know, it's
always
the doctor's favorite place.
We're
there's like a weird Stranger Things reference, because like the the rocket needs like to fuel up from the Earth's core, and like it just ripples through London, so it's like all these holes appear in the ground. It's very Vecna from Stranger Things season 4. And then basically culminates in like the doctor and Donna in like this control room trying to turn off all the switches and stop it from you know,
but she's
London.
Also she's there because she's like subconsciously knows that
I
she
need
needs
to, help
to
him,
be
yeah.
there, but she hasn't fully remembered him yet. And then he start, and then they get separated inside this thing, like a glass screen comes down, and the doctor's like, oh no, I need to get Donna to remember so that she can stop this ship and we can both help each other. And he starts just spouting out these words.
It's like,
I
can't
remember what the words
are. It's just like, it's kind of like that scene in Captain America Civil War, because it's like Bucky Barnes has like his mind control thing, and it's
yes,
like his hits his trigger word. So the doctor's there like, Mexico, blah, blah, blah. And then
Jelly.
Donna like remembers, you know, and then she snaps back, and obviously she's smart again, like has the mind of a Time Lord. So her and the doctor turn off the spaceship. And, you know, then it's like, oh, no, is she going to die? Is it like too, because it's too
and
much for
does,
her to handle?
And she kind of does die. And David Tennant's face, and when he's like holding Donna. That's some top
There's
quality
some good acting.
Acting there.
Yeah,
top
yeah.
quality. Honestly, it was really, really good. But she doesn't die because she's got a daughter, Rose, coincidentally. And because of the meta crisis, and she's now had a daughter, the meta crisis transfers into her daughter Rose, who also then has Time Lord energy in her and the brain, and manages to get them out of the spaceship. And I think that's the part that me and you both thought was weird, that they both have the Time Lord energy, and they say, we're going to do something that male-presenting Time Lords can't do. We can let it go. And then they just let go of the energy, and we were like... And it kind of did baffle us a little bit, because I didn't understand.
The follow-up is a little bit cringe, because obviously, like, you know, when Donna gets mind, like, brainwashed the first time around, she keeps spouting binary, binary, binary. So when she's gaining her memory back, she's going binary, binary, and then her it cuts to her door and she just goes non-binary. It's kind of a bit cringe, like, when we were watching it, but obviously serves, you know, I think it's like a way to sort of avoid her dying. It works, because, like, you know, you had a kid, it passes down to your children.
I think they almost could have left it at
they
that.
Could have left it
they
at that, but yeah, it's just...
They've both got it, it's fine.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it could have literally been, like, you both have this you know, time or mind, but because it's two of you, you'll be fine.
You'll be
You're not going to die. But then they're like, yeah, as you say, they literally go, we're just going to let this go. And then the energy just
dissipates.
So it's just a bit like, what? Like,
yeah.
That's a bit... just the fact it's like, oh, I just choose to let this go. I choose
because
not
I'm a
to...
woman, I can let this go. And so it's just a bit, like, I, you know, don't understand that.
Bit bizarre, bit odd, but that was, yeah, probably it was bits like that. It's kind of like, okay, it's kind of, you kind of took, almost took the threat of it away, because there was this big Donna, if she remembers me, she will die. You know, it's too much for one person to handle. And like, it's not even like her and her daughter were gonna die, because, you know, it's still too much for two people, let alone one person. You know, but I don't know. It kind of left things there.
Or maybe it could have been like Donna's dying and then her daughter somehow gets into the spaceship and like grabs her hand and then it transfers. And then you could have said, okay, that's how she's saved rather than it being, I think that would have been good.
But that's,
and then you wouldn't have had to do all the other stuff.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. Exactly. So that's where that episode leaves off basically. Because, you know, it's still an all right episode, not as good as the ones that follow, but going into Wild Blue Yonder. We'll not do the opening bit with Isaac Newton. He has a brief cameo.
Yeah, whatever. They call it Mavity instead of Gravity. That's it.
Basically, they go to this spaceship. It's very, like, very, very self-contained. There's, like, literally no one else in the episode.
Literally.
David Tennant and Catherine Tate. So they're on this abandoned spaceship. They're like, oh, what's happening here? There's some mystery words being spouted by the spaceship and it keeps changing its shape. So already there's, like, a really good mystery element, like, oh, what's going on here?
You've got no idea what's happening to begin with.
And they scan for life signs and there's no living thing on the ship. So it's like, oh, good. They start trying to do some repairs to the ship and then it's like, oh, Donna, I'm going to go in this room. You try and fix things in this room.
What? This is a really great scene. Yeah, and this is like top-notch telly, not even like top-notch Doctor Who, because what happens is the Doctor is in one room fixing something and he's talking to Donna. But Donna's asking him really weird questions. And then it clips over to the Donna sorting... The Donna? Donna in the other room sorting things out. And the Doctor is talking to her, asking her weird questions. And you think that these are just happening in two different times, don't you? You think, oh, that's the future, this is the past, or whatever. And it's not until the questions start to get weirder that you think... Well, not necessarily weird, like...
Well,
but just like Donna says to the Doctor... Do you miss Gallifrey? It's like Donna would never ask him that. So you're kind of thinking,
I mean, you think
what's
it's,
going on here?
I don't know. You think it's like general conversation because, she asks the Doctor about that. And then in the other room, the Doctor says, oh, what would your granddad do in this situation? You know, like very timid conversation. And then suddenly it gets dropped of, my arms are too long. And you're like, what the hell does that mean? And then it like...
Transpires
That it's clones. Or it's like people mimicking.
That's the easiest way to describe it. It's like clones of the Doctor.
Doppelgangers.
Of the Doctor and Donna, and it's just such a brilliant
and you get
scene.
Some like good
it's really good
get some good body horror as well, because I basically, you know, he says, oh, my arms are too long, and then it just
suddenly
shows these massive hands
it's
David Tennant's massive hands, and then Donna has like a massive arm, so you're
and
like
she
Jesus
has two knees at one
point.
And then as the Doctor and Donna are running away from these doppelgangers, they suddenly start to grow and get absolutely massive, and then they end up just getting trapped in the hallway
they get
of
too
the
big,
ship because
they?
They're so big, and they're trying to, and they're still like moving a little bit, and it's just so
it's
creepy.
Like, it's really iffy, like CGI. It's like, you know, not
but
anything
we expect
special,
it.
But
it's BBC, it's Doctor Who. I don't care.
Yeah,
but
still freaky.
Looked good.
It's like, you know, it's just everything like the you know the shots and the music and everything like ramps up. So you kind of like, we were watching it like, Jesus, what's going on?
I know, and like when he's like, because at one point, like I don't know if it's this time or after, where David Tennant as the doppelganger is like running on his hands and knees, and like his one eye is getting really big and his mouth's getting really big. And it's like, oh my god, this is actually, like, if I was a kid, I'd be terrified of that.
Yeah, so you get like the whole episode is kind of like, oh, who's the doppelganger, who's the real Doctor and Donna, you know? So you get a few,
that's pretty much the whole episode
goes from scene to scene of like, are you the doppelganger? No, I'm not the doppelganger.
There's
a good like climax as well, because like one of the central mysteries is like, why is the spaceship saying these random words and like turning stuff, and like the clones basically need, you know, they want to mimic the Doctor and Donna, so it's kind of like they need to smart,
so that
they need
can
to get smarter.
Fly the spaceship, I think, isn't it?
Well, that the whole thing is they basically want to mimic the Doctor and Donna because the TARDIS is going to show up at some point when like the danger threat level goes away or whatever, and then picks them up, and they obviously they're just going to hijack the TARDIS and take it back to our universe. So, you know, the clones need to get smart, and like when the Doctor and Donna are afraid, that just means they get smarter quicker. So it's like a good bit where like the day where the Doctor's trying to suss out what's happened, but then his clone is also catching on.
Yeah,
so
they find out when you're thinking about things, that's when the clones are cloning you and getting your information. Yeah. So the Doctor and Donna are trying to not think, but because the Doctor's the Doctor, he's also figuring it out at the same time. And that's a really good scene again.
It's a good, yeah, when he works
figuring out why they're there.
Because it's basically, the spaceship is counting down. It's just a really...
self-destruct.
Yeah, because it's just a really, really, really slow bomb. And then the Doctor's like, I need to speed this up. And then that's the climax. It's like, obviously, he speeds up the bomb and they've got like seconds to get out. The Doctor chooses the wrong Donna, so you know, rescues the wrong person.
Yeah.
Goes back and like ejects the doppelganger, and then, you know, they get out, they're all fine. They get back to Earth, and then that sort of leads into the third episode, because they kind of get back to Earth and it's this whole, oh, something's, you know, Wilf's there. And it's like, Doctor, something's happening, you need to save us. What's, you know, what's going on? People are going crazy. And then that's when it goes to episode three, which is The Giggle. So
Yeah. And The Giggle has Neil Patrick Harris in it.
Who's brilliant.
He was brilliant in it, like really, really good. And again, it's not even like top-notch Doctor Who, it's just top-notch acting, top-notch telly. Like, it doesn't even matter that it's Doctor Who, and everybody's really good in this, and particularly him.
So like, he plays the Toy Maker, who's a first Doctor villain.
Right from the very beginning.
Basically, you know, Doctor defeated him back in like the 1960s, and then he's found a way back into our world and he's hijacked television, so it like broadcasts a signal which drives it, but basically makes everybody think they're right, so therefore the world's gone crazy, you know. So, you know, it's just we need to stop him from doing this. So there's a good like they go to find him because they go back to when the first television got made, so because it's like the first image that was imprinted on television screens was because of the Toy Maker, and that's where the signal comes from. So they go back and they have like a really good like reunion as such, him and like the Toy Maker, because I was watching because like after the episode, like a bunch of behind the scenes stuff came out of like
I love behind the scenes
Russell T. Davies was saying, because I'm with the Toy Maker in the 60s, like obviously different time, different attitudes, but there was a whole thing of like he was a white man wearing like a sort of like
Chinese,
like a Chinese
costume,
like like ceremonial like robe, so it's obviously like can't really do that. But they kind of like lean into it a little bit in this episode to kind of show he is a bit, not racist, but he will like, you know, take the mick out of stuff. Because it's like, because it's basically him, Neil Patrick Harris, goes between like an English accent, American, and then he keeps doing this, oh, hello, Doctor, it's me from, you know, Germany. Oh, it's nice to see you again. Keeps doing it. But it is like that, though. He just keeps doing like such an exaggerated like accent. So they kind of, that's them kind of leaning into that element of him without him being completely offensive.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Which does work really well.
Which like there's a really, so there's like a really good reunion. Obviously, it's just him clicking on to like, oh, you recognize me again, Doctor. Like, come into my weird like haunted house thing. Which,
it's like Scooby-Doo where they're opening doors, but it just keeps leading back to the corridor.
But then you get a bit where Donna goes into a room and it's this like Scottish doll. Oh my God, talking to her.
I mean, that is it's hilarious, but creepy as anything. It just starts like slowly walking towards singing nursery rhyme, but in Scottish.
Yeah.
Not Scottish.
Oh no, not Scottish.
Shut up.
But yeah, she's just like, oh, I need to put the babes to bed. You know? And then the like doll, like these doll children,
babies come down from the ceiling and they start attacking Donna, and she's just throwing them about everywhere.
Yeah. Really good.
It's terrifying.
And then like, yeah, the Doctor, like there's a really good bit afterwards which kind of like gives a weird sort of catch-up summary thing, because like the Toy Maker puts on like a little ventriloquist show, and he's like, oh, Donna, this is what basically happened to the Doctor when you weren't here.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is the Doctor and he met Amy Pond, but then Amy Pond died. Basically, like, he met all these people and they died, and the Doctor's like trying to not like justify, but try and make, not even make light of it, but it's kind of like, oh, Amy Pond got touched by an angel and she died. It's like, yeah, she died of old age though. And then Neil Patrick Harris just keeps going, well, that's all right then.
Yeah.
Which like was really funny, but then also like just very, it's not what, like, I don't know if creepy is the right word, but it was just very like threatening.
Unsettling.
Yeah, because it's all, you know, just like, oh, this is Clara. And And I love the bit because I never watched when Clara died, but like she gets killed by a bird or something. And it's just, you can see in Neil Patrick Harris's face, was like, this was Clara and she was killed by a bird. And he like looks really confused, like sort of like looks a bit like stupefied. Yeah. And then the doctor's like, oh, she still survives in her last seconds of like life. Oh, well, that's all right then.
Yeah.
And then Bill, who like, I never watched that, but that was really cool, like reading about it because she got turned into a Cyberman. And then the doctor's like, oh, but she, you know, her consciousness still survives. So
yeah.
It's a bit of a catchback. And then, you know, or catchback, flashback, catch up.
Yeah.
And then you see, yeah, and then you see the Flux, which, I mean, even though we watched that, I clearly didn't take much of that in because it's kind of like half the universe was killed and the doctor beat himself up.
And this is the thing, it didn't feel like that at the time.
I thought the doctor fixed it. That's what I thought.
I thought that she killed all the Daleks again. Yeah. And that was it. So, but I don't know.
But yeah, it kind of like, you know, they see the threat of the toy maker. The doctor challenges him to a game of like cards where they just spit the deck, and they kind of do like a whole, you know, toy maker wins, but it was we actually draw because I beat you back in the 1960s.
Yeah. And what's the overall rule of games? Rule of three.
Yeah, which is really good because he's like, because the toy maker's like this god basically, like he can do absolutely anything. You know, he can turn people into balls. He can like, he literally says, I played a game of God and I put him in a jack in a box, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's really powerful, but he is constrained by the rules of the game.
So if you set the rules of a game, then you have to follow those rules. And because there's quite a funny scene, wasn't it? Quite a funny line where Donna's going, don't play the game, he'll cheat. And he goes like, shame.
Yeah, that's like, really, yeah.
I would never cheat. Like, that is literally the one thing that I'm not allowed to
do. Which is brilliant.
So it's really funny. Yeah.
So then it's like, oh yeah, no, we'll play this, you know, best of three in 2023. Then they go back and then there's like another, well, that's literally it.
Yeah, that is.
And then they go back and it's, they get this another sequence because Doctor there goes to like Unit HQ and they're like, oh, we need to find the toy maker, what's going on? And he shows up.
And he starts playing Spice Up Your Life
by the Spice Girl,
and he starts singing it, which is dancing around,
and like, you know, people are trying to fire guns at him but roses come out and it's like him doing
and it's funny because it's just the classic thing of the Doctor saying your guns won't work against him and they still keep firing their guns at him. It's like, when are you going to realise that your guns aren't going to work when the Doctor says that your guns aren't going to work? Just listen to him, you idiots.
But like a really good sequence, and like, yeah, he just starts doing like snow angels in the rosebuds. Yeah,
it's really funny.
It's when he because he literally taps like these two guys, turns them into a pile of like balls basically, and then one of the balls bounces over
it's just going
and then yeah, they have like another like standoff. Basically he gets hold of like a orbitable cannon thing that they were using earlier in the episode. And then he shoots the Doctor and he's like, oh, I've already played games with like multiple Doctors.
So he's like, I played the first game with one Doctor, the second the game with you, so I'm going to play the third game with the third Doctor. So he fires the cannon at him, and this is the big thing that happens. It was all leading up to the bi-generation, which basically means that when the Doctor, rather than regenerating, they have to pull him apart and they pull out of the Doctor Shutagawa. So there's now two Doctors. There's David Tennant and there's Shutagawa. And they proceed to play a game of catch. And that is the game that they play. They play catch with the ball, but it's brilliant. And again, I watched the behind the scenes of it, of Shutagawa saying, I was so rubbish at catching the ball that I just had to kind of keep hold of it while I was doing my trick, my jump or something, and then just hold it as if I'd caught it. And I was thinking to myself while I was watching it, I was thinking, I wonder if they did actually catch the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some really good clips of them like trying to do it. But even then it was like, it was really funny. Like, it was very light-hearted, I think.
It's very
which is good for Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's not like a big kind of boss fight finale kind of thing. It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it still felt fun. Yeah, it felt a lot better than just any...
I mean, it's like if you say, right, you guys have got to throw this ball around, otherwise you could die. You'd be like, oh my God, I've got to catch this ball, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and you feel that.
It's a lot better than like any climax Jodie Whittaker had when we watched
playing catch was better than anything we've seen in years. So
they defeat the toy maker because he drops the ball, and then it's like, I banish you, toy maker, to this wherever. And then it's kind of left from there because basically, because of the bi-generation, David Tennant hasn't died, he's still in this world with Shooty. So they clone the TARDIS because I guess that's just because obviously David Tennant's prize was banishing the toy maker. So then Shooty's prize is I get to clone the TARDIS.
Yeah.
So he clones the TARDIS and then David Tennant has his own. And then obviously Shooty goes off and does his own stuff. And then David Tennant basically gets to live with Donna and have like a normal life.
Yeah, pretty much has a normal... Yeah. He's still a Time Lord, but they basically said that because the Doctor obviously doesn't do things in order all the time, so Shooty Gatwa is like, okay, you need... And the reason why David Tennant's face came back, because the whole sort of at the beginning it was like, why has this old face come back? And it came back because he's been through so much and he's not had time to stop and sit down and just enjoy himself.
It's a weird, like, mental health retreat.
Yeah, it is. So David Tennant's going to stay in one place and live his life. But Shooty Gatwa, who is essentially David Tennant, but in the future, he's already done all that. So he's fine to carry on going whilst David Tennant is still linked. That's what I saw online.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, and that's why. So Shooty Gatwa, and then it's all going to come back around. So Shooty Gatwa eventually is going to say, right, I know that I'm going to end up here. Because it's all Time Lord stuff and...
Okay.
Timey-wimey.
So, wait, so the Shooty Gatwa that got pulled out of the Doctor then, that is technically a future version of Shooty Gatwa?
No, it's just a future... It's the future version of David Tennant. So once David Tennant's lived his knife life and he's happy, maybe Donna's died, he's going to turn into Shooty Gatwa.
Right.
And then Shooty Gatwa's going to come back out in David Tennant at the start here. But David Tennant doesn't know what's happened yet, but Shooty Gatwa does. So it's kind of like River Song. You know, River Song meets
okay,
the Doctor
in a different
order.
So here's like...
It's a different order.
It's like the regeneration's happening like at the original point in the story for David. Like it's all circles back round.
Yeah, it's the original point for David Tennant. But not for
and that's
so
what
it's like River Song.
That's what Russell T. Davis said, is it?
I just can't remember.
Okay.
But I think that is true.
Okay.
But that makes sense in the Doctor Who universe, I think.
Okay.
And I can live with that.
What did you think of the Donna, the Doctor staying with Donna?
I don't know. I just think the thing that you said was the most hilarious thing, that there's like multiple David Tennants running around now, because there's the David Tennant from when he's the Doctor and he's lived in that timeline. There's the Doctor David Tennant where he's now with Donna. And then there's also a Doctor in a parallel universe with Rose, because there was the human Doctor who went to live with Rose. And it's like, he can't just keep coming back and staying with his...
It kind of took it out a bit for me, because it's kind of like, well, this has already happened. Like, the Doctor has technically had a happy ending by living with one of his companions, you know. But like, this is slightly different, because at least this Doctor has a TARDIS. So I guess if Donna argues with him one day, he can just go, right, I'm going to go back in time then. You know, so it took it away. Like, am I glad that, you know, there's a possibility that David Tennant could come back again?
And that's,
yes.
Yeah, and that's kind of the feeling, and that's what your friend said. That's what Logan said.
Shout out to my friend Logan, who does the music for this podcast as well. We literally had like a voice notes exchange afterwards, and it was just like, oh, what do you think of this? Oh, I thought this. And he basically said, like, David Tennant not dying and like being there with Donna is kind of like a break glass in case of emergency thing. Like,
just
so if Shooty Gatwa stuff doesn't work well, it's like, well, David Tennant's here.
Yeah, because he is brilliant. Like, if he could be the Doctor forever, I think that he would do it. If he could continue to have his other career, he would do it because he loves it. And he's just absolutely brilliant in it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so great seeing him back on the telly again and in that particular role. It was so brilliant.
Maybe
I really enjoyed myself.
Maybe in like case of major emergency, you could bring back Christopher Eccleston.
Do you know what? I would genuinely love to see Christopher Eccleston. I never appreciated him when I was younger, but since I watched it again, I was like, do you know what? He is an excellent, excellent Doctor.
Very underrated.
And it's a real shame that it was all outside behind the scenes stuff that caused him to go away. I think that's a real shame.
He technically is back because he's doing radio like things of Doctor Who. He's back to like record those, but he's not actually like obviously on screen. I was kind of a bit like, you know, I'm happy David Tennant's still here, but like, you know, this ending, I could take it or leave it.
If he'd like fully died, I wouldn't have been sad. You know,
yeah,
like,
I guess
like,
that's probably why they maybe didn't do it, because kind of like, we've already seen him go once.
Yeah.
Like, but then also like other people were like wanting it to be, because obviously when he first went, he went, oh, I don't want to go, because he was genuinely like, my time isn't now. Whereas other people were kind of thinking this time around, he'd be like, I'm ready
to go.
Because maybe that's why the face came back, aside, so he can actually accept that he needs to go, kind of thing. But yeah, I could take it or leave it. Like, again, if he comes back, maybe they'll do like some episodes, like I was saying to Tila, maybe like a two-parter or something. Yeah. Where like
I said that he's going to be the new Sarah Jane Adventures. Like, yeah, iPlayer exclusive.
I hope it's not, because I obviously...
It wouldn't surprise... If that happened, I would not be surprised.
There's been a few comments made by like Russell T Davies, which I have me a bit like, oh, come on, don't do this. Because it's like with the Doctor Who canon and stuff, like... Obviously, they've introduced this bi-generation stuff as well, which, you know, fair enough, like, you know, it's been 60 years. You can do whatever. Yeah. But it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, we live in a world where Spider-Verse exists, so there could be multiverses. And I'm kind of like, hang on.
Yeah, but like, do you know what he's got on, though? He's got his Disney hat on, because it's not just the BBC anymore. It's Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's why. So I'm a bit like, oh, because, I mean, I was like, hang on a second. You already established that parallel universes exist, yes, but there are walls between our universe and parallel worlds, so we can't.
The Doctor already fixed that.
Yeah, we can't.
He already sent the Cybermen back into the void and closed the thing, and that's how we lost Rose Tyler. This is what I mean. I want that to stay there. We don't need to change that.
We can't hop between them like willy-nilly. Yeah. You know?
We as the viewer can go to the parallel universe and watch what they're doing, but the Doctor in this particular timeline on our Earth, he can't go to the parallel universe.
Yeah, so it's a bit like...
We can as the viewer, but not him.
Yeah, so it's a bit like, you know, come on, like, don't go full... Like,
don't go too far.
Yeah, yeah. Because like,
I don't need any more multiverse stuff.
Doctor Who's done stuff like, you know, this is a version of the Doctor, because I think with David Tennant, they might be setting up for him to potentially be... Because when they did the 50th anniversary, I don't know if you remember this, there was like a curator in the museum.
Yeah.
And him and Matt Smith have like a weird exchange of like, you know, is this guy the Doctor? Is he not the Doctor? Mm. So they're kind of thinking maybe David Tennant ages into that guy.
Yeah.
And then obviously he meets Matt Smith, so it's kind of like another... full circle kind of thing. So like that's, you know, that's fine. If it's just sort of like, this is a version of the Doctor and he lived his life and blah blah blah, it's not, this is an alternate version of the Doctor,
yeah,
kind of thing. It's not like a different version of Spider-Man,
because the Doctor
is still, he's one man, like, it
he's
can
still
only
one person,
and it's still, it's like time,
he just doesn't live his life in chronological order.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, it's not, this is time travel, it's not multiverse stuff, it's not just, this is parallel universe version of the Doctor who, you know, did whatever.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see where Shooty's stuff goes, and like, yeah, if they throw David Tennant back in, or like, you know, if they wheel him out again for the 75th anniversary, because I guess that'll be the next one.
Well, would they do so every 10 years, 70?
Yeah, I guess so.
Probably.
But I think, as I said at the beginning, it is... pretty much like a return to form. Like,
yeah, I hope that I will be watching it on Christmas Day at 5:55, because I want to see what happens now. I'm not like, God, this is rubbish. I want to watch it.
Have you seen the clips of that Goblin King song?
Not of the song. I've seen like the trailer.
Okay, there's a song. I don't know where it's going to be in the episode, but there's a song.
Well, I shall be turning it off.
You should
be
muting the telly.
Because I don't like singing when it's not got its place, as we already know.
Yeah, but bring on Christmas Day. This has been a good return to form. May it continue at the pace it is.
Excellent viewing.
I almost, because I've like, guess my TikTok brain, because me and Tula
have
been watching a film every night in the run-up to Christmas. We're doing like a thing called December Movie Nights. So every time I go, like and follow for more videos like this, or like, you know, have you seen this film? Let me know your thoughts.
Yeah,
so I was going to just say, well, what do you guys think? Have you watched the new thing as Doctor Who? Let us know. But honestly, you know, if you do want to let us know. We are on TikTok. We are on Twitter.
On as well. And thank you very much for listening to this episode. I've been Tula.
And I've been Michael.